Good morning. This is Tommy Ray, and we're in episode 82 of Water Rights, Laws, Guns, and Money. Today is August 31, 2023. You may be tired of hearing about the Colorado River, but it is the most important river in the western U.S. Some of you may be keeping up with the progress on an agreement to share the river among the seven states. Others may not. Today's episode comes mainly from reporting by the Colorado Sun on August 23. I just think it's important for listeners to be informed on this critical issue. As of today, this is the latest. The seven states have staked out their positions on the future of how the river is controlled by the Bureau of Reclamation, the most important being how Lakes Meade and Powell are operated. The basin states continue to disagree on how to change the reservoir's operations, but they do agree that the current rules don't work. This summer, state and federal officials began a new round of negotiations focused on long-term operations at Meade and Powell. It is important to understand that the lower basin states, California, Nevada, and Arizona, simply put in requests to the Bureau of Reclamation as to how much water they need and when. The Bureau then plans releases to meet those needs. The upper basin states, Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, have no such, quote, bank that they can draw upon or request releases from. The upper basin states are totally at the mercy of Mother Nature. During good water years, that is, lots of snowpack and some rainfall, the upper basin states may get all the water they need. During drought years, the upper basin states get only what Mother Nature provides. They have no, quote, water bank to request deliveries from. The seven states and other stakeholders submitted comment letters August 15 to the federal government for consideration as part of ongoing discussions over future operations at Lake Meade and Lake Powell. These two reservoirs combined comprise 92% of the basin's entire storage capacity. Two other of the largest reservoir storage facilities that the Bureau of Reclamation operate are Flaming Gorge Reservoir in southwest Wyoming and Blue Mesa Reservoir near Gunnison, Colorado. Of course, all this discussion was brought on by the precipitous drop in elevations at Meade and Powell. They had dropped to 32% capacity as of March 20. States, tribes, stakeholders, and federal officials are in the midst of negotiations for both near and long-term planning, each jockeying to strengthen their access to this vital resource. The federal government has until December 31, 2025, to come up with a plan that basin's stakeholders can work with. For now, it looks like they have a long way to go. The seven states' comments letters of August 15 show where there is some agreement. According to their letters, the seven basin states agree primarily on the basics. Where do all the seven states agree? All seven states agreed that the federal government must consult with them, or its management options will be significantly limited. And the feds shouldn't throw out the law of the river, the treaties, compacts, regulations, and more that govern how the river basin's water is shared. Management of Meade and Powell needs to provide reliability and certainty for the millions of people who rely on the Colorado River. They also agreed that the current rules aren't working. A set of drought response guidelines established in 2007 determines how water is stored in and released from Lake Meade and Lake Powell through Hoover Dam and Glen Canyon Dam, respectively. The next set of rules, they say, should be interim, not permanent, so water managers can adapt to changing conditions in the future. The state's other key points: finding solutions will require more collaboration, which means working closely with Colorado River Basin tribes, water users, non-governmental organizations, and others. And the U.S. needs to collaborate with Mexico in a separate but simultaneous process. So where do the basin states differ? The upper basin states, Colorado, New Mexico, Wyoming, and Utah, and the lower basin states, Arizona, California, and Nevada, agree that the Colorado River Basin has a supply and demand issue, but they don't agree on how it should be addressed. The basin's water supply varies each year in response to the amount of rain and snow that falls into its 246,000 square miles drainage area. However, demand has outpaced supply as farmers, cities, industries, and the environment claim the basin's water. This imbalance has contributed to the water supply insecurity felt basin-wide, including in Colorado, where 40% of its water supply comes from the Colorado River and its tributaries. Letters received from the upper basin states all say that the federal government's long-term plan needs to address this gap, which will require permanent lower basin reductions in most, if not all, operating conditions. Officials in these states say that the lower basin states have exceeded their legal allocations, while upper basin states regularly operate below their allocations. Letters from the upper basin states say one way to achieve lower basin reductions is to account for water loss because of evaporation and leaky infrastructure, which are estimated between 1.2 million acre feet to 1.5 million acre feet annually. The upper basin states are starting to stake out some claims around permanent reductions in the lower basin, factoring in evaporative losses and transit losses, said Taylor Hawes, the Colorado River Program Director with the Nature Conservancy. The lower basin's letters, notably, do not mention overuse, evaporation, or transit losses. Instead, as a group, the lower basin says the federal government's plan should include an incentive system for voluntary conservation, augmenting the Colorado's river supplies and distributing those supplies efficiently, particularly within the lower basin. Letters also state that lower basin conservation efforts have contributed 5.1 million acre feet to Lake Meade, raising its water levels by 72 feet. The Colorado River Basin states are not considering changes to the 1922 Colorado River Compact and the 1948 Upper Colorado River Basin Compact, as part of these negotiations, according to the Colorado Water Conservation Board. Attorneys are spinning legal arguments and quibbling over verbs to strengthen each state's position in the negotiations. One of the biggest legal sticking points, according to water attorneys not involved in the negotiations, is one phrase in the 1922 compact. Upper Basin states, quote, will not cause the flow of the river at Lee Ferry to be depleted below 75 million acre feet for any period of 10 consecutive years. Lower Basin entities see this phrase as a delivery obligation, while Upper Basin states may pursue the argument that they are not causing the depletions, but rather that climate change and lower basin overuse are doing that. The debate seeks to inform how water would be curtailed if the river reaches more extreme shortages than have existed thus far. Another area of contention touches on some of Colorado's local reservoirs. Lower Basin states say that the federal government should consider water stored in other federal reservoirs in its operation plan for Lake Mead and Lake Powell. This would include upstream reservoirs like Crystal Dam, Blue Mesa Dam, and Morrow Point Dam, which form the Aspinall Unit located along the Gunnison River in Colorado. It would also include Flaming Gorge Dam in Utah and Navajo Dam in New Mexico. They want to include Flaming Gorge, Aspinall, and Navajo. That's the hidden text, Hall said. So it seems to me like the lower basin states are trying to argue that these upstream reservoirs should have been part of the 1922 Colorado River Compact. They were not included at that time. They didn't even exist then. Colorado and other upper basin states disagree, saying that the long-term operations cannot change how these reservoirs are managed. What's at stake? If the upstream reservoirs are included in the operations plan, the lower basin states could gain more access to upper basin storage, which could then be called down to bolster Lake Powell's water levels. The upper basin states want to avoid draining the Aspinall Unit, Flaming Gorge, and Navajo to sustain the lower basin overuse. In the past, the federal government has pulled excess water from these upstream reservoirs only as emergency releases, like during the basin's first federally declared water shortage in 2021. Where does Colorado stand? Colorado's letter doubled down on many of the upper basin's points. Colorado emphasized that the post-2026 operation rules should be based on the basin's actual water supply each year and allow for the protection and restoration of both reservoirs' storage. The guidelines will need to acknowledge that climate change is real. Lower basin overuse is unsustainable. Tribes need to be able to participate for the plan to succeed. All uses should be transparently accounted for, and the rules should focus on operations at Lakes Mead and Powell. Any assumption of reductions in use or curtailment in the upper basin is beyond the scope of this process, the letter said. The post-2026 rules shouldn't interfere with states' rights to administer their water and cannot favor one half of the Colorado River Basin over the other, Colorado's letter said. What about the Indian tribes? The 30 federally recognized tribes with land in the Colorado River Basin have rights to about 26% of the river's average annual flow of 12.44 million acre feet between the years 2000 and 2018. The Ute Mountain Ute chairman, Manuel Hart, said the federal government must uphold its responsibility to protect the tribe's water rights. Hart emphasized equity in how the basin is managed, saying that in some areas, tribal members live in impoverished conditions without adequate drinking water. The Ute Mountain Ute community of White Mesa in southeastern Utah is one example, he said. We all are not on a level playing field because tribes do not have the political power, Hart said. About a dozen Colorado River Basin tribes were still in litigation to quantify their rights as of 2021, including the Ute Mountain Ute tribe. The long-term operations plan, Hart said, should include a mechanism that would allow tribes to consume additional water as they quantify their rights. Some tribes also have rights to water, but no way to access it without the necessary infrastructure. That unused water flows downstream to be used by others, but tribes are not compensated for that use, and that needs to change, Hart said. If a tribe can use its water but chooses to refrain, it should be compensated for any associated economic losses or expenses, Hart said. I truly hope the Indians receive a fair share of water. But of course, lawyers will always argue over the definition of fair as it relates to their particular clients. Becky Mitchell, our Colorado representative on these negotiations, has her work cut out for her. I want to interview her, but until negotiations are complete, she is reluctant to say anything that could be taken out of context to thwart her plans for defending Colorado's position. I wish her the best. I would like to be a fly on the wall in the negotiations, but not sure I would like to actively participate. Instead, I'll just continue to report. I encourage and want your feedback on these issues and others by contacting me at tommy@nowater.com. That's KNOW-water.com. I like hearing from you. As always, though, I'm going to stop now and go sit by my favorite mountain stream and recharge. See you next time.